session number 12599. This is Clenaghan, Reel 2.
And this is Reel 2. You were talking earlier on about the food situation, and I was going to ask you about black market, you know, whether there was a black market in World War I, as I know there was in World War II.
Well, I do have memory of an instance where there must have been black market, because in my mother's larder, in those days, of course, there were no refrigerators, so it was in my mother's larder, there was a peculiar thing that my mother told me, because I was curious about it, that it was an ostrich's egg. Well, of course, I didn't really think it was an ostrich's egg, and by dint of asking questions, I found out later that it was a bladder of lard. Now, I had an uncle who was in business at Stowmarket, which is in Suffolk. He's my father's brother. And every time he visited, there turned up in the larder an ostrich's egg, as my mother said it was, an ostrich's egg. But I found out, by some means or other, that, of course, it was not an ostrich's egg. It was a bladder of lard. And that is the only thing I know about black market, but it must have been black market. There might have been other things going on. Maybe we got some of the sugar that I remember that we had, and I seem to remember that we had condensed milk too, because I got into trouble once for taking some condensed milk. So I think there must have been black market going on, and it would be business people that would have I've lost the connections.
That's right. Yes, I was wondering also, you know, because of the sea, was the sort of, did you get fish still?
I forgot to say that. My father being on the floating dock, we had fish, because he fished from the floating dock. He had peculiar hours where they had to spend a whole week sometimes on the dock. I can't quite remember the conditions, but he had plenty of time when there was nothing else happening. He had plenty of time to fish. So we did have fish. And I'll give an instance of the fact during the war that we had fish, because I think this is rather quaint, really. It was 1917, I know that, because I went to the school, the main road school that I've mentioned before, and there came a time when it was time for the scholarship. Now, the scholarship in those days was a peculiar thing. There was only 1.5 scholarships to a school, because pupils that went to the high school were paid for, but there were 1.5 scholarship, a whole scholarship, and then a scholarship where you had your fees, I think, paid, but had to buy books or pencils or something like that. So there was 1.5 scholarship, and I remember going off quite jauntily to take the scholarship. I wasn't worried, and I didn't think much about it. I was only worried that I didn't break my pencils, which my mother had very carefully sharpened for me. And but the thing the food question that comes up was, there was an idea that fish was good for the brain, and that morning my mother gave me a fish breakfast to help me win the scholarship, which I did, and I won the whole one. and I went to the high school. But I just mentioned that to bring in the fact that we did have fish, and my father fished from the dock, floating dock.
Well, could the fishing sort of industry around, would that have been affected, though, by the war?
I don't really know about that. I mean, we didn't know anybody. We didn't know any fishermen. This is just a sort of personal recollection that we did have fish.
Something else I was going to ask you about, you know, when you were talking about the Germans, the prisoners, and this sort of feeling, the bogeyman, you know, in the
old
German with the spiked helmet.
Yes.
You know, was there sort of anti-German feeling in World War One? How would you sort of describe the feelings towards the Germans?
Yes, well, I think that was an example of the it wouldn't be a German prisoner of war because I'd be too young. So it must have just been a German. And I think the Germans were badly treated. I remember my husband telling me of a local German who was a watchmaker, I think, of this town, who had his windows smashed, and he had to be taken into police custody for his own safety. But I don't remember anything. All I remember was that we were afraid of this German that was in the ruins of an old brickworks. But apart from that, I don't remember there being... We didn't know any Germans, and I don't remember there being any feeling of hostility towards Germans, except that this German was supposed to be... had taken refuge in the tunnels of a... But it was only a childish feeling of fear and excitement and sort of...
You've explained it well, and I do understand. But the other thing I was wondering, you know, at school, did the war impinge at all in school? Was it mentioned in school, in prayers or assembly?
No, but there were times when we had to take cover. The school had it was a large school, infant and sort of seniors in the same big building as it usually was, and it had an underground. It was like built on pillars, and it had an underground part. And I seem to remember spending quite a bit of time in this underground section of the school. It was peculiar because we also lined up there when we had to go into school. But it was a part... It was an underground, but it was... there were pillars, and the school was built on these pillars, and therefore we had an underground section, and we went into this underground section at various times when obviously there was a warning that there was something happening.
Did anyone you knew in your town, or any member of your family, did anyone get wounded or killed?
No, but there was an experience with that my father had with my uncle. I had an uncle who came down from Scotland. My mother was Scottish, and this was her brother-in-law, my uncle Fred. And my father and he were walking around the quay at Harwich. At night, I don't know why at night, but at night, and they were accosted by a policeman and taken to the police station because my uncle's broad Scotch accent, they mistook, the policeman mistook for German, and he was taken off to but of course they soon managed to make it understood that he was Scottish and my father. But from that, there was quite an interesting thing about the First World War, and that was that my uncle, this uncle that the policeman mistook for a German, was on a Q ship, and a Q ship was a sailing ship, that looked innocent but wasn't, because it had portholes that opened up and there were guns. And it seems as though they approached German submarines that were on the surface and innocently sailed past them, and when they got within range they'd open the portholes and fire. It was, and they called it a Q-ship, and he was on a Q-ship, which was also very frightening for my aunt, because it was a rather dangerous occupation of the Germans. I mean, they must have come to realise that these ships were sent to trap them, and but I do remember that he was on a Q-ship.
But did you hear of no local people who were killed? I was wondering how much the sort of war casualties impinged on you as a young schoolgirl. Did you hear of sort of friends losing members of their family or not?
I just think we must have been very lucky, because I can't remember any. I mean, there were casualties. The casualties were enormous, but I can't remember. I didn't have an uncle, and I didn't have an uncle killed. My father, of course, was in a reserved occupation, being a diver, so he didn't go. And I can't remember. I can't say that anybody that I knew personally was killed. I didn't know of anybody who was at the front. The only ones that I came in contact with were the soldiers that were in my mother's front room, and that I knew that they were going to fight, and understood that many of them would not come back. And that was the only contact I had with casualties.
I was wondering also, you know, one hears of the sort of songs of the World War One, you know, that the troops were supposed to have sung at the front. Yes. Whether there was any sort of awareness of that, you know, the particular tunes that you associate with World War One. Going back to when you were a child, of course, you know, if you would have been aware.
Yes, well, there I think there were songs, yes, but I think my memory has rather let me down there. I don't really remember them. My mother used to sing one that was Dolly Must Leave Me or something. I don't remember. Yes. Dolly, I Must Leave You, Though It Breaks My Heart to Go. I remember my mother singing that, and I suppose the soldiers sang it too, but I don't remember them singing it. I don't remember them singing it, but they must have done. And there must have been other songs too, though I can't remember them.
Towards the end of the war, there was a very big flu epidemic. Do you have any knowledge of that or memory of it?
Yes, I've got very vivid memories of that, for the simple reason that we were a family of five, my mother, father, two brothers, one a baby because he'd been born in 1917, and the other one who was 3 years younger than me, and I'd be a girl then of 11, and the four members of the family, my two brothers, my mother and father, had this flu, and I didn't. I had no flu at all, and so therefore I had to look after them, because I do remember that there was a scarcity of doctors and nurses because they also had the flu. I remember this because a nurse came to the house to look after because my brother, my older brother, the brother that was nearest to me in age, he was very ill, and she came, and there was little she could do. The doctor that we should have had was either needed somewhere else or had flu himself, And she said that the only thing that could help my brother would be that he must have brandy. Well, I was only 11, and she said that she couldn't go to get the brandy. And my father was not a drinking man. I knew nothing about public houses or anything like that. In fact, we were very much against that sort of thing. I was brought up anyhow. But it was there were songs and things about don't leave your child and then go into the pub and spend all the money and that sort of thing. I can't remember it exactly. But I was told to go to a public house and get brandy. And I can remember going in and all these men, and oh, I looked on them with horror because they were drinking, which was very sort of prudish of me. But I went up to the counter and I got the brandy and I brought it away, and I had to give my brother spoonfuls of brandy so many times a day, and he survived. But it was terrible because, I mean, that's an instant where a child had to go to a public house very much against her background and get brandy in order to for her brother, for his survival. But and I do know that they were quite ill. My mother, father, and my two brothers, especially one brother, was very ill. But they gradually got better. But I do remember the church bells ringing a lot and tolling, because so many people had died. Now, the next door family were completely wiped out. There was a husband and wife and a girl of, just a husband and wife and a girl of my age. And I know I was very upset because Mary, I think her name was Mary, had died, and their family was completely wiped out, one side. So it was a terrible. But there I was 11, and the full horror of it, of course, wouldn't, because I wouldn't be reading the paper, or we had no wireless, we had no television in those days. They were unheard of. So you only got the news from the newspapers. A child of 11 wouldn't be reading the paper. So it would only be the kind of atmosphere that I gathered, that there was a lot of sadness about. A lot of people were dying, and that the doctors themselves and sometimes the nurses also had influenza. It was terrible. And but as I say, as a family, we did survive, and I was fortunate in that I didn't have it.
Well, were you aware when the war
I'm sorry.
Ended?
No.
Celebration?
I don't remember it at all. You see, there are certain things that trigger off one's memory, some sort of event, but I don't remember. You see, I'd like to say that we had fireworks and that sort of thing, but I think that was November the 5th. And so I know I can't really say. And when it's a matter of bells, you think I'd remember the church bells ringing, but I only remember them ringing, tolling for the ones that had died in the influenza epidemic. No, I can't at the moment. I'm afraid I don't really remember there being celebrations. There must have been celebrations, but maybe I was kept indoors and I didn't join into the celebrations. But I do remember a sight. My father took me up on a hill and we looked down on the River Stour. And on the River Stour, this must have been after, sometime after the our mistress, and after arrangements had been made, because the Germans surrendered their submarines, and along the River Stour they were a long line of German submarines bow to stern, and I have got it in my mind that there were 120, but I wouldn't say that that was could be relied upon, because it might have been 120, or I may have made the 120 up. But there was an enormous number of German submarines, and my father had taken a piece of a German submarine, and he made a model of a German submarine out of of black material from a German submarine. Unfortunately, it was lost.
Witness another World War, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yes.
The last war.
That World War, I don't really remember it so intensely, because I was teaching in Sheerness, and we were evacuated to South Wales, and I took my boys, my talk boys, I took my clothes with me, and I spent my time looking after these boys, because we were supposed to have somebody who looked after them, but they didn't, and so I looked after them, and I spent most 2.5 years with looking after these boys, and really the war went on almost without my attention. I was much too busy, and I wasn't in it, was I, you see, because I was in Wales. I remember evacuation, but I don't remember so much about the war. And then, of course, I came straight back after they realised that Sheerness was not going to be bombed. The Germans weren't interested. And so I came back after 2.5 years, and within 3 months, I got married. And then a year after, I started a family. So what with getting married, going on teaching, and then having a child, two children, in fact, within the 2 years. And I was too busy, really. I do remember, of course, about the last war, but you don't want to know about that, do you?
Indeed, Mrs. Clenaghan, for telling me about your World War One memories.
Well,
it has been very interesting.
I hope you're not just saying this to put my mind at rest, because I feel that it could have been so much broader.
You've actually told us some very interesting aspects.
But I did live through these things, and I mean, they are true, and they may be slightly exaggerated. You don't know with a child, do you? But I don't think so.
No, well, certainly they've been very interesting for me to listen to, and I know the museum will appreciate them.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Clenaghan.
Now,